Hey, my friends, welcome to another episode. This is Solo BG Podcast, episode number 90. We are getting close to that mythic episode 100. And the big surprise is, well, if this is your first time in the podcast, I always say it, right? If this is your first time, welcome, first of all. Second, here it's a podcast where we talk about board games. That's right, solo and cooperative board games mainly. You are completely right. Games that you can play by yourself. Also, once in a while, like we will have very soon, we have Kickstarter's previews. We have a Solo with Friends, which is basically games that there's no way that you can play them solo, or at least officially. And we also have special episodes, which they usually are interviews with content creators, designers, publishers, so on and so forth. All the celebrities, I guess I like to call them that way, around the hobby industry. And as we're reaching that episode number 100, I can spoil you already that we have a lot of surprises, including giveaways, fantastic giveaways, of course, or probably just one big giveaway. It's up to you to stay tuned. Also, I can confirm you that we have some amazing content creators that they're coming to the show, and that we are already on the process of recording some interviews that they will be released on special episodes, at least as today, which let me go to my cell phone right now and tell you, at least as today, Monday, April the 5th of 2021, I can tell you, which because this episode will be on air tonight, that episode 95, 90, 96, 97, 98, 99, number 100 will have special guests. I don't want to spoil you with the names, but two of them are the two of the biggest solo mode and solo game designers. Well, one is a great designer that doesn't focus in solo mode. Both his games, because he's a designer and a publisher as well, his games, usually they are getting solo modes now. And one of his games is one of my favorites ever. So if you have been following the podcast, especially on those top games of 2019, top games of 20, top games and, you know, from 18, I believe we did also as well one. Well, you will see that probably you will get clues of who am I talking about. The other one is one of the biggest designers of solo modes, of course. Like, he's almost in every Euro making solo modes. So you get the idea of who I'm talking to. He's also been confirmed from the show. Another one, it's probably the biggest solo mode or solo gaming content creator out there. He has a big dice as a symbol. So I guess you get the idea. And he's also involved on his name for the channel. So another hint. So many, many hints. Another, she is a great content creator as well. She also plays a lot solo. That's her main thing. She also reads books, fantastic books. She actually have a channel about books. So you get to spoil the other guest. Another of my friends also, he will be here on the show. He is from England. He has a channel that is basically trying to take you away from the boring aspect of life and bringing you to games, so you get the idea as well. So anyway, all those spoilers already out there for people that will be on the show as we progress to episode 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, and 100. So that's the final episodes before we reach to number 100. If more content creators get confirmed, we will have them on the show as well. Probably even started on episode 93, 94, and so on and so forth. This is episode number 90. And as you could read on the title, well, in space, no one can hear you scream. And of course, we're going to talk about Aliens, Another Glorious Day in the Corps, a cooperative survival game by Guild Force 9 under the license from 20th Century Fox. So we will be talking about this game. I got this game not for review copy. I buy the game myself. And probably about 2 months ago, kind of. And I've been playing this game quite a lot. So I will tell you, of course, my thoughts towards the end of the episode. We're also going to have the usual sections where we took, a look on the box and cover, of course. I'm going to tell you everything about the box. Just like if you were picturing on the gaming shelf, I'm going to talk to you about the art, the size of the box, everything. And then we're going to jump inside the box with the next section. We're going to do the audio unboxing, which I love to do. Talk to you about the components, so on and so forth. And then, of course, the gameplay. To explain to you the gameplay, the idea is not to have a tutorial like we always do. It's more like an idea of how the game plays, especially if you are doing something that doesn't allow you to watch a video right now, well, there you go. I'm gonna kind of tell you the story of the game and how it plays. And then we're going to jump into my impressions of the game. Like always, I really appreciate that you're here. And if you want to support the show, there's many ways you can do it. One is following us in our social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at SoloBG Podcast. The other one, it's subscribing to our podcast in any streaming platform that you're listening to. Especially if you're listening through iTunes, please subscribe. And give us a 5-star review over there and put a comment. That always helps to reach to more listeners. If you're listening to Spotify, please do the same. Or any streaming platform that you use, please subscribe and rate the show if you want and can. And lastly, the other option that you can support the show, well, is getting some amazing games for yourself at amazing prices. And kickstartedgames.com, that's kickstarted with ED. kickstartedgames.com, and if you use the code SOLOBG, you get 15% off from your total purchase, free shipping, and $100 or more in the U.S., and if you're not in the U.S., like always, well, play with the numbers, right? You're going to get 15% off with the SOLOBG code. That makes it kind of like the same for a free shipping internationally, and there you go. Knock yourself out with some amazing games, and you're supporting the show at the same time. With that being said, let's start just like the 90 episodes before this one. Let's start like always in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to SoloBG, your podcast for solo and cooperative board games. Here you will find everything you need to know about your favorite and most recent games. Art, rules, gameplays, and interviews. Here is your host, Derek Rodriguez.
Now we are officially on Aliens, another glorious day in the corpse, a cooperative survival game by Guild Force 9. And Guild Force 9, it's only 1-9. Guild Force 9, and in space, no one can hear you scream. Fantastic franchise, one of my favorite franchises. Of course, it has good movies, very good movies, bad movies, but you know, it's a great franchise to explore. You know, in the board game industry as well, we have another fantastic game based on the franchise, which is one of my favorite, which is Alien, the deck building game by Upper Deck. I love that game. I love playing the campaign over and over. I think it's probably my favorite deck building game from the Legendary system. Alien is definitely the most thematic. It's my favorite. I love it. I enjoy it. And I know it's a big time favorite out there. So when this game was announced, probably like 2 Gen Cons ago, I think it was Gen Con 2019 or probably even 18. I remember seeing like a big, big poster saying Aliens, the miniature game. I was so excited about it. I remember walking around with a friend and we both got very excited, but it never came out. It never came out until the last quarter of 2020. They said, okay, here it comes. So I don't know if they were preparing for Gen Con 2020, which of course it didn't happen physically. So anyway, they released it and I was able to get a copy. Now, it's important to say that this game came this box, which is the base game, then a bunch of expansions, and then a lot of add-ons on terrains and stuff. So I will tell you all about it, but we're going to talk about the base game only. Every single aspect of the base game. All right? And like always, I'm going to tell you what I have been playing, you know, from the last time I sit down in front of the microphone and record until basically this day or this morning, which I haven't played anything today. I actually have a game on my table right now, which is Streets of Steel, the Kicking Asphalt, and I'm looking forward to play it because it has that pixel art that I love, and it's basically like trying to simulate a beat 'em up, I guess that's the genre, from the old video games and the arcades, you know, from Super Nintendo and arcades, Neo Geo and all the stuff, and that I'm a sucker for pixel art. And I love it, and I hope the game stands on a good position on my, gaming adventures, right? So, what I've been playing recently. I've been playing, and I played again, I think I mentioned on the previous episodes, A War of Whispers. Now, A War of Whispers is from the same people that brought us Everdell, Starling Games. And basically, like I mentioned before, it's for me, even if I'm not a huge fan, it's like a Game of Thrones game. A game that you were going to be choosing secretly your own empires that you want to, you know, support and follow. And you're going to also choose your less favorite empire. And basically, you're going to, on your turn, trying with, you know, to manipulate these empires in that way they can fight to each other and start to conquer, you know, different regions and cities. In that way, you will try to play to your own convenience to get more points at the end of the game, because once again, you're going to choose secretly the positions of the empires, but every player is going to do the same. And it's kind of like action selection program kind of mechanic, where on your turn, you're going to be placing different agents in different spaces on the board, which is like a circular board. Kind of has like the same function as a clock, I guess, if you want to call it. So we're going to go in order resolving actions according to where you place your agents on your turn. And that's it. Like, we're going to be resolving actions, all of us, all the players, and manipulating the empires, getting cards that they also manipulate the empires more. It has an expansion that is called Dark Alliances that I finally tried it, which basically what it does is that those cards, you mix them with the normal cards from the game. And when you draw those cards, it gives you like an option, right? Just, for example, to throw you like a, you know, very simple and example, I guess, a scenario. It will say something like, well, offer other player to take their action, and they're going to forfeit their action because they're going to give it to you. And then you're going to ask, right, let's say to your friend on the right, hey, friend on the right, can I use your action and you forfeit your action? And they might say yes. Okay, if they say yes, then you're going to read on the card and something is going to happen that usually will favor them. If they say no, sometimes you can really affect them, or it can really affect you, or nothing happens and you just take the card back to your hand. So it's a cool mechanic. I actually liked it. I think the game works better with the Dark Alliances expansion pack, especially if you're playing three players or more. If you're playing two players, well, probably the expansion, it won't be as fun as it is with three or four players. It's a game that the more I play, the more I like, which is weird because it's not a, you know, a very common mechanic of, you know, choosing your own empire secretly and trying to, you know, reveal until the end. Or, well, actually, you can reveal during the game and trigger some abilities. But it has a very cool also, you know, action selection mechanic, you know, that it will probably stay the same for the whole game. So it's a game that I highly recommend. Sorry if you hear like a noise, because I was almost throwing the console down here while I'm recording. But it's a game that I actually recommend, you know, a lot, if you have the gaming group for three or four players especially, and that you can definitely check that out if you are a Game of Thrones follower. So yeah, I actually like it a lot. I don't think I'm going to like Game of Thrones or watch Game of Thrones ever, but I watched the first two seasons and that's it. I mean, it didn't hook me. So yeah, so that's A War of Whispers. Also, I've been playing, I think I mentioned it to you before in the previous episode, another game that it has really exceeded my expectations. And it's a game that I'm pretty sure this year on my top, when I do my top five of solo cooperative games, this game probably will be there. And it's a very hard game to do an episode about it, which I want to do it, just because it will be so hard to keep everything without spoiling, especially on an audio podcast. So I'm talking about Tainted Grail. Tainted Grail, honestly, like, even right now, if I tell you what it is about, or kind of putting simple the mechanic, I'm kind of exhausting my words for when I record the episode, because it's so limited what I can say, and at the same time, I can say a lot, but I had to be very careful not to spoil. So just know that I've been playing Tainted Grail. If you haven't played it, it's a fantastic, immersive solo experience. A very unique experience that at least I haven't tried before. I haven't tried anything similar. That's what I'm trying to say before. Probably something close will be This War of Mine, but at a different level. Like, Tainted Grail, it takes it to another level. It literally translates the RPG games, video games, to a table. Like, it's fantastic. So I'm looking forward to finish the campaign that I'm playing, which is still quite a bit long, because I'm not even in the half, but, you know I will bring it to the show. I know I will. And I can probably bring it, you know, when we have guests, because I know some of the guests that are going to be in the show, they actually love the game. So who knows? But we're going to talk very soon about Tainted Grail. I promise you that. And right now, I will tell you, if you have a way to get a copy, please do, especially for solo gaming. You won't regret. It's fantastic. It's great. And I cannot recommend it enough. That's Tainted Grail. Also, I play another very simple game, which is nothing wrong about it. And I actually ended up buying it because I didn't own a copy of this game. And I'm talking about King of Tokyo, but the Dark Edition. It's a beautiful, beautiful game, components-wise. You know, everything is beautiful. The theme, the art is great, it's beautiful. And the game is so simple that I'm pretty sure all of you have played King of Tokyo or saw videos of King of Tokyo, which basically, if you haven't, somebody has to be in Tokyo and the other monster that is not in Tokyo is going to start to fight the monster that is in Tokyo or vice versa. And all the players that are outside of Tokyo, they will attack the monster from Tokyo, vice versa, depending on the number of players that you're playing. You have abilities, cards that they can help you to trigger different things during the game. And it's basically either that or last man standing. Or the other option, it's to reach 20 victory points to win the game. So good, so fun to be rolling those dice with Yahtzee mechanic. I mean, I just love it. I mean, sometimes simple games really, really, really make it up for me. Of course, this is not a solo game. It's more like a 3-4 players game. But the Dark Edition, definitely, I highly recommend it. It's beautiful. I didn't own King of Tokyo. I only own King of New York. But since I played it and I saw it, and even my wife was playing it as well, and she liked it, we were like, you know what? I feel like since we don't have King of Tokyo, we need to get this version. So that will be my advice. If you don't own King of Tokyo, get this version. And I think it's one of those games that you have to have in your gaming library because, I mean, you never know. You can have visits on the future, near future, or far future. And you know, there's a game that you can play with somebody that doesn't know anything about board games. So there you go. Forget about Monopoly and bring King of Tokyo. It's just great. It's a great, great gateway game. And I just love it. And even for gamers, I mean, I have a blast every time I play it. So King of Tokyo, it's another game that I've been playing. Another fun game that I play from Pandasaurus Game, it's a little card game called Ohanami, which basically you're trying to, with cards that you're doing, it's a drafting game. You're getting two cards on your turn, then pass the other ones. And it has a very clever mechanic of numbers that they translated to garden, numbers and colors. So you're going to be trying to accommodate different gardens on your play area, which you can hold up to three, which garden translates to placing two cards. Doesn't matter if there are different colors and doesn't matter if there are different numbers. The only thing is that after you place those cards, one on the above and one below, well, then on the next turns, if you want to put cards above the above card, I guess, it has to be a higher number. And the same for the below, it will need to be a lower number. And you're going to be placing different colors, different numbers, and every round you're going to be scoring depending on the colors that round gives you points, and so on and so forth. After you play three rounds, you're going to add all the scores and all the score, and whoever has more victory points with the game. Once again, a multiplayer game, not a solo game. Very fun from Pandasaurus Game. I mean, I call those games like bar games, right? Like games that you can go to a bar and you want to play something, have some drinks. Let's say you go to a brewery, you want to have a couple of beers, but also you want to play something that you don't care too much if it gets damaged or not, or you can protect very easily with slips. Well, this one, Ohanami, it's definitely a recommendation that I will give you. The theme is not very appealing to me, like Japanese gardens or whatever. I don't really care, but it was a fun game. I have to give the game that. So there you go. Check it out. The other game that I play solo, now going to solo games, it's a game that ideally you don't play solo, but I play the solo version, which I thought it was official. Then I found out that it wasn't the official yet. But anyway, I'm talking about Disney Villainous. I played Disney Villainous, the base game, the solo mode. Fantastic. How you play it solo, you wonder. Well, very easily. You will put a D20 and a D10. That's all you need, a D20 and a D10. What are you going to do with those? Well, basically, the D20 is going to count or is going to keep track of your 20 turns that you have in order to accomplish your goal according to the villain that you choose from the Disney universe. What is the D10 is going to do? Well, that's going to depend on the difficulty you want to play. So you're going to do your actions as normal, you know, like if you were playing a multiplayer. And when it's the other player turn, you're going to roll the die. And if you're playing easy, every 4 or below, from the D10, of course, you're going to draw 2 fate cards and you're going to choose the worst, that is the one that is the worst for you in this case. And you're going to place them also in the area that is going to affect you the most. And then it's your turn. And then you're going to keep doing that with the D10. Then it's your turn. Then the D10. If you want to adjust the difficulty to more hard, you can increase the probabilities to 5. Because if it's 4-0, of course, that's 40% of chances. I'm sorry, 4-1. And then it's 5-1. Well, you added 50%, 60%. You get the idea. And that's how you're going to be playing solo. Basically, a time game where you only have 20 turns to accomplish your goal. I played it with Prince John from one of my favorite, or probably my favorite Disney movie, from Robin Hood. And I actually ended up liking it. I thought, like, well, it's going to be just, you know, a lame way of bringing business to the table. No, I actually liked it. I actually like it a lot. I like it to the level that, listen to this, if you don't own any villainous game or standalone expansion, because you only play solo games and that's it, and if you like that theme, you know, the bad guys from Disney, then I will recommend you to get a copy. Just, I like it that far, you know. I recommend you to get a copy of Illinois, play it by yourself. I think it's fun. I think some characters are going to be, of course, harder than the other ones, but I highly recommend you to try the Disney Wilderness exclusively for solo mode. So I think it's great. And if you cannot find the solo mode that I'm talking about, please just go to Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter on Solo BG Podcast. I posted not too long ago with pictures and the link for the solo mode officially. And if you don't find it, well, just reach out to me through any of the social medias. Ask me, and I'm going to be super happy to share the link with you. So that was Villainous with the solo mode. I also play Space Explorers. It's a new game that I try. A game by Yuri, what is it called? A Suit of Love. I hope I pronounced it correctly. Space Explorers, with basically the theme is on the 1960s of those space race from Russia and United States to see who was the first one to get there and to put, you know, somebody on the moon or at least in space. Very fun engine builder game, which at the same time is probably, talking in consideration how simple it is, probably at the same time the most complex-ish on the ability side, because it has a lot of iconography that it represents different abilities. It has a very nice guide that it will take you to every card, but it has his gimmick, you know. It has his thing to grasp. So it took me a couple of turns to grasp it. After I grasped it, very cool mechanic, very smooth game, and I actually enjoy it. There's an official solo mode for that one, Space Explorers, that I haven't tried. So let me try it, and then I will tell you more about it next time once I bring it to the table and I try the solo mode. So far, the multiplayer, I like it. And that's all the games that I have been playing from the last time that I recorded an episode until today, once again, which I'm recording this Mythic episode number 90. And now let's jump into the game, Aliens, Another Glorious Day in the Corps, a cooperative survival game by Gale Force 9. And let's start with the first section. Like always, let's go and take a look, or in this case, take a good listen, of the box and cover.
Box and cover.
Okay, the box and cover section of the show, of course. 12-inch by 12-inch, very standard box size with a cool art in front of the box. Has a machine gun over there, and you can see that there's blood on the machine gun, and there's some sort of like pavement on top of some pavement and some gun caskets just, you know, out there, and you have holes on the ground and blood on the gun, and very thematic, I guess. And then with the title Aliens, just with the same letter or style from the movies, Another Glorious Day in the Corps, a cooperative survival game, once again by Guild Force 9 and by 20th Century Fox. Then on the sides of the box, you have the word Aliens all around. In that way, you can place it on your Kallax, either vertical or horizontal. It won't matter because it will tell you the name of the game. You know what? The box, the art on the box, it's okay. It's not bad. It's okay. But, I don't know, at least for me, it's nothing like outstanding that it will tell you, oh my God, you know, that game looks cool. And because I have said on the past that for me, when I go to a gaming store, sometimes, which I know is not the best to do it, but sometimes, or very often, I'm, you know, browsing and just looking through the shelves, and I see a box that it's appealing to me, especially because of the art, and usually I ended up getting the game, you know? And sometimes I don't even know what it is. I don't know if it's a Euro, a cooperative, or solo, nothing. I just, oh, it looks cool, the art, whatever, bought it. Then if I don't like it, well, We'll see. I sell it or give it away. But with Aliens, I think they could do better with the box and cover. Also, on the back of the box, you will have a layout of how the play area is going to look, how the mat is going to look, and then the minis, where we're going to talk about the minis. It tells you the 7 hard plastic characters, the main characters from the movie Aliens, and 16 multipose hard plastic aliens. So you see these miniatures and you're like, cool. Okay, so let's talk about Aliens. Something is wrong in Hallie's Hope. Walking through the dark corridors, you can see a one-sided stroll went down here. Sparking wires and flickering lights give you some fleeting glimpses of the carnage. Debris is scattered everywhere, and broken furniture has been hastily pushed into makeshift barricades. But no people. Where are the bodies, is asking. You and your team of Specialist Colonial Marines will gear up with serious firepower and head to Hadley's Hope to find survivors and answers, but you are not alone. To survive, you'll need to work together, keep your cool, and stay frosty to fight relentlessly xenomorph ambushes and get out of there alive. And then it tells you, all right, sweethearts, we're a team and there's nothing to worry about. We come here and we're going to conquer and we're going to kick some. Is that understood? And that's a pawn. Alrighty, so that's what you get. It also tells you the components that we're going to talk in a little bit once we open the box. But the minis, man, the minis from this game. Oh, I have some impressions on the minis. Once again, if I see this, box on the gaming shelf and I see these minis, I'm like, they look fantastic. But I will tell you more about it. It plays 1 to 2 hours, 1 to 6 players, age 14+. And once again, the game design is from the team of Gale Force 9 on 2020. And there you go. Now let's open the box. Let's see what we find inside the box.
Inside the box.
Audio unboxing for you, my friends. Here is. I'm moving this guy here. Okay, let's open this box. And like always, it's very tricky because I said it earlier on the show. You know, I'm sitting here in front of the microphone. I usually record standing, and it's hard because I had to put the microphone, you know, between my arm and my chest, and that way I can open the box. But now it's open, so that's good. So first thing we're going to find, it's a 28 double-sided rule book. The rule book, it's, I won't spoil with my impressions. Not yet. But 28 double-sided rule book, once again, with the same cover as the box. And then on the back of the rule book, you will have the quick reference for the Marines phase, the alien phase, and what to do in every single step of your way. Then you keep open the box, and then you have, oh, cool, the mission campaigns, big shit, mission 1, nude. Of course, you remember the little kid from the movie. Then you go to the back, and there's more scenarios, bug hunt, supply depot, keeping score. You see Vasquez over there. That's great because they call her Vasquez, but it's Vasquez, actually. You know, and trust me, I know Spanish, I guess, as you can tell. And then, my friends, big surprise here, Alien Warriors Assemble Guide. And when I opened the game, I'm like, what is this? Hold on a minute. And then I see that there's literally a guide to put together the minis, okay? Then you get Aliens Marines 1 Assemble Guide. And I'm like, oh boy, okay. I start to see a lot of pieces. Then you get all the pieces in a tray, in a flat tray. No minis are assembled yet. Oh boy. Then you get the different tiles, of course, that you're going to use during the game to set up the mat. Then you get a bunch of tokens with numbers that they will be the blip tokens, kind of like you're simulating a raider on the game. You get a lot of cards, and trackers as well that you're going to use during the game. You get some dice as well that you're going to be using. And, of course, my friends, the minis, like I said, in a flat tray. Okay? But actually, I had to organize my game because it's a whole, I already played it multiple times. I have it a whole mess. I need to keep some order here. All right, so with that being said, after I told you this, let me tell you how the game plays.
Gameplay!
Are you looking for that Kickstarter game that you missed during the Kickstarter campaign? Are you looking for that awesome and mythic expansion for one of your favorite board games? Are you sad because you didn't got the Kickstarter version of that game? Or perhaps you are like me and like to get a game with Kickstarter exclusive components and stretch goals? Well, don't look any further and go right now to KickstarterGames.com. There, you will find Kickstarter board games, expansions, Kickstarter exclusive content, graphic novels, RPG novels, toys and collectibles, and much more. Kickstarter Games is my favorite site to go and get those amazing games that I want to have on my gaming collection. Plus, they offer free shipping in the US when you spend $99 or more. And if that wasn't enough, right now you can get a 15% off if you use the code SOLOBG. That's right, use the code SOLOBG altogether and obtain 15% off from your total purchase. So go right now and check it out while you listen to this episode. Once again, www.kickstartergames.com and enjoy all those amazing games. Okay, so after we are back from our sponsored message, let me tell you, of course, let's talk about how Aliens played. Once again, this is not a tutorial. This is not a rule-by-rule tutorial. This is not like how to play, no. It's more about how the game plays, kind of like the idea of the game, and what are you trying to do. Because there's actually some cool mechanics that I think they will be a little bit hard to you know, talk about it on a audio episode. But anyway, we're going to do our best, of course, right? So the idea of the game, it's to play a small campaign, kind of, from the Aliens movie, which it was the second movie on the franchise, all right? Probably the one of the best of the franchise. For me, my favorite is Prometheus, by far, and I love Prometheus. But Aliens is probably there on my top three, of course. So you're going to place over some missions. For example, the first one is Newt. As you remember from the Aliens movie, I guess it's not a spoiler, you're going to encounter Newt, which is a little girl that is very weirdly, you know, staying alive around aliens, and she's a survivor. Anyway, long story short, keep reading the campaign. He's going to tell you a little bit of narrative as well. But anyway, you're going to play the mission Newt, and you're going to have the big sheet where it's going to tell you how to lay out the tiles for that scenario. You're going to shuffle some blip tokens that they will have, you know, numbers on the back, but also in one of those tokens, there's Newt over there. So you try to find it, but be careful because if you go and flip one of those blip tokens, it might be an alien, so you don't know. So anyway, that's the first mission. After you finish the second mission, the first mission, you're going to go to mission 2, escape. Now, regarding of if you win or lose, you're going to keep going. And it's going to give you the mission 2, you know, a goal, which is, of course, escape, like the mission card says. Then it's survive after that, which is mission number 3. So that's the way that you can kind of play through the movie. There's also some additional missions, like rescue mission, supply mission, bug hunt from Halley's Hope, bug hunt atmosphere processing plant, bug hunt Outpost Alpha 116, and Bug Hunt Supply Depot. So you have probably, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 9 ways to play the game different in that way you can get different experiences. How the game plays? Well, basically, you're going to have to play with 6 characters. So if you thought that the zombie side mechanic wasn't here, my friends, I'm sorry, if you're playing solo, you had to use the 6 characters. Now, the difference here is that every character, the character tableau, little cardboard thing, it has 2 sides. So one is for the multiplayer side, which is, you know, things that you will do on activation and passive actions probably, and also it's going to have all the stats like your aim, your tech, your melee, your defense, your speed. But if you're playing solo, you're going to choose one of those characters to be kind of like your character, your leader character. And the other ones are going to be support more than anything. So you're going to choose the side for your character that is going to be with abilities and everything. And then the characters that you're not using, you know, because you're playing solo, you're going to have them face down, which basically makes it way simpler. So they don't have abilities, they don't have anything. They just are there for support. They can move, they can fight, they can do interactions and stuff, but they don't have abilities, which make the experience more smoother or way smoother than comparing it to zombie set, right? So that's a good thing, and we will talk about it on my impressions. So how it's gonna work? You're gonna set up the you're gonna set up the template for the game or the scenario, and then you're gonna start to kick in with the marine phase. The game has two different phases: the marine phase, the alien phase, and then an additional one, which is the finish one. So what are you gonna do in the marine phase? Well, you're gonna reset every aim dial because the aim is has a very clever mechanic that it detects the number that you need to, you know, to get in order to succeed. For example, you have a 5, you're gonna roll your die, and if you get an equal number or below, well, then you hit basically. Your aim is good. But if you hit anything higher, well, then you fail, right? So as you're using your guns, you're gonna be kind of decreasing the aim of every gun, just lowering on a little tracker dial, which is pretty cool. And now it's going to be harder to aim. That's what it's trying to represent. So that mechanic is very cool. You're using a D10, by the way. So that's a great mechanic that I actually like a lot. So you're going to reset at the beginning of your turn everybody's aim dial in the way you restart. Then you're going to resolve all on activation abilities that you're going to get from cards or on characters. Then you're going to equip endurance card, which is basically your weapons. You can remove cards that you don't want. And you can also, you know, freely trade with characters and equip some characters if you want, because you're going to have some cards in your hand to probably help your fellows, right? Because once again, it's a cooperative game, and it's has a very thematic, immersion on the movie. So that's great. Then you can perform the actions. Of course, like in a lot of games, you know, with this kind of thematic, you will have actions like move, actions to attack, to barricade, to aim, which is basically... increasing dial track that I mentioned, you know, in that way you can keep defeating some aliens. You can interact with something, in this case, for the first scenario with a blip token where you're trying to find Newt. You can resolve all of the you can rest, which it will allow you to draw some cards or recycle cards, because the recycle part here is very important, because that basically helps you to stay alive and to have better odds during the game. It has a very clever mechanic of cards that it's, once again, this is probably the hardest part to explain on the game, but you will be getting cards from a pile, and if that pile gets emptied, then you're gonna basically recycle and reshuffle whatever it's left on that deck or has been discarded. And if at some point you're out of cards, well, the odds of winning the game are gonna be super hard, almost to none. After you resolve all of the end of activation abilities, you're gonna use the rank to activate grunts. Of course, you're gonna activate these grunts in ranks. They have abilities once again on their tiles, and then you're gonna pass to an X player the activation token. Then is the alien phase. If there's any alien, they're gonna move, and they're fast. They always move with the speed of 6, and then they're gonna attack. The characters can attack the aliens, but also the aliens can attack. It's kind of like a simultaneous thing, which is in reality not. But even if the aliens are trying to attack you, you're trying to defend yourself, and you can actually kill them, which is very cool, because I would hate if this game has that mechanic of, okay, now they attack me and that's it. No, I like when they attack you, it's kind of like, hey, I'm fighting you, like in the movie, you know, like probably the alien is coming at me, but what if I'm fast enough to shoot it back? Well, probably I can kill him, right, instead of him making damage to me. So that's great. So you will do that once they activate, if there's any aliens out there. Then you're going to activate the blips, which that's another very cool mechanic where it's simulating like a radar. So the blips are going to start to coming towards you. And if they can see you or you can see them, you have line of sight, then you will reveal them. And depending on the number, that's the number of aliens that they're going to spawn on that blip token. So it could be a big horde, so be careful with that. Then defensive fire, characters will attack the aliens, and then the aliens will roll for defense, just like in the previous steps. Then you will go to the finish phase, which you will resolve any effects that they will be determined for finish phase. You can check, then after that point, you will check for victory. You clean up everything, and you go again. Like I mentioned, every scenario will be different. You will have a different goal. So they kind of did a well job by, you know, giving some variants there. In that way, you can, at least on the 9 different ways that you get from the base game, you can feel it different, I guess, every time. Now, like I mentioned, there's some expansions out there that they will bring you more stuff to play, more replayability, or more different ways to play, I guess. I mean, without changing the main mechanic. So that's basically it. You're playing the movie of Aliens, which there's nothing wrong with that if you like the movie and if you love the franchise like I do. So, I mean, I love it so far that I'm waiting for that mythic game or that mythic pledge of Nemesis that I want to believe that will be my holy grail of solo gaming, which that's going to be tough because you had to go above Tainted Grail, above Imperial Assault, above Sleeping Gods, above so many amazing games that I've been trying recently. I didn't mention to you, but I actually played Descent too. It was my first time playing Descent 2nd Edition, and I had a blast. I loved it, but I will tell you more about it in the next episode. So with that being said, let's jump to my next section of the show, which is actually my favorite, because I tell you what do I think about the game if I rather play this game solo or cooperative.
Solo or cooperative.
In space, no one can hear you scream. That's right, aliens. Oh my God, friends, the franchise, I love it. I love the franchise. I told you already many times. And I told you that Nemesis game, it has to be, my holy grail. Hopefully, for solo gaming, but we'll see. Meanwhile, let's talk about Aliens and Other Glorious Days on the from Gale Force 9. Do I want to play this game solo or cooperative? First, let me tell you the things that I don't like from the game. First of all and foremost, I know, and I will probably get some pushback here, I know that a lot of you amazing listeners like to play or have played in the past Warhammer or Blitzball or whatever miniatures game, that you have to assemble, that you have to use clippers, cut the pieces of the miniatures, make sure that everything is clean and, cleaner than whatever, and then hold them together, get your hands full of glue if you're like me, and then wait, holding there, putting pressure for another 20 seconds, and then next mini, and next mini, and next mini, and so on and so forth. If you like that, good for you. Honestly, I'm proud of you because I'm very dumb at those things. But I hate it with all my energy and soul. I hate it. It was a torture to me to put them together. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one, because some people out there, they were complaining about the same. I hated it. I don't think I see it on the box that you had to assemble. And I was trying to take a quick look, but I mean, let me see again. I don't think it says on the back of the box that, hey, heads up, the miniatures come. You have to assemble. Let me see. Bah, 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 bah. So it just says 23 plastic miniatures. Gale Force 9, 27. No. No, it doesn't say. It doesn't say. And you see, I mean, oh boy. It took me a while. I mean, the miniatures, they look cool once they're glued together. If you did a decent job, or at least I did a very poor job, but I think they still look cool. Of course, if you use a magnifying glass, it will be like, oh man, it looks awful. But, for table purposes, they look okay-ish. So, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to paint them, to be honest with you, because, oh my God. And I'm grabbing an alien here. The aliens are a nightmare to assemble. A nightmare. The tails of the aliens, man, I was so upset putting this game together that I actually had to ask a friend that he plays miniature games. I took the box to his house and I'm like, dude, please help me out with this. I will pay you. I will pay you to assemble my minis. He was very nice. And very kind of my friend Anthony, and he did it for me. And honestly, I was, about to throw everything to the trash. I hated it. I don't want to assemble minis. Never, never, never in my life again. I want minis that they bring already assembled and that I can paint them or play with them just as they are. I get it that, for a miniatures game, a war game or something like that, for Games Workshop or whatever you want to call it, that works for them. But give me a break. If you're releasing a board game, this is a board game, all right? It's not a war game here. It's a board game. Please. Come on. We're in 2020, 2021. And you are charging retail price of $50 or $60 for the base game. Give me the assemble minis, man. I mean, come on, Gale Force 9. I mean, I really hate it. This is probably my less favorite part of the game, to be honest. My less favorite part of the game is to assemble those stupid minis. What else? The replayability on the game. I think that there is some replayability, but not as much as you can experience. And I think that's another downside of the game. Because once you play on the base game through the whole scenarios, through 9 times on the base game, that's it. That's it. I mean, it's like, and this is the hard part. Let's take away this. Let's take for a little bit on the side the part where I like the franchise, where I love the franchise. Let's just bring the game with the other franchise, right? Other theme. The game only you can play it 9 times, and if you play it again, it's the same over and over and over and over. And I don't think it's a great game, like a great movie, once again, without the theme, that you want to watch it over and over and over. Now, you put the Aliens theme on it. You put, you know, everything else on it. You know, all the components, the pictures of the characters and the cards and you know, the tableau and everything. Then it's different because, yes, there's no replayability on experience-wide, but at the same time, it's like if you're watching the movie Aliens over and over and over, which I have my favorite movies that I watch at least once a year. So for me, it's the same with games. There's nothing wrong. I mean, you know, I want to watch Aliens. I want to play Aliens, but that's it. But just keep in mind the replayability, it's limited to that, right? So just a heads up, just to keep it in mind. Another thing that I'm not a huge fan of it, and I think I have mentioned in the past, it's when sometimes some games, they literally just grab some pictures, random pictures from movies and add it to the game. For example, Aliens from Legendary Deck Building. Fantastic art. I love it. I just love it. It's great. They didn't use pictures from the movie or anything. They use art, you know, drawing art, and it's beautiful. It's scary even at some cards. I mean, it's great. This one, they basically use, you know, random photographs from the movies and from the movie, I'm sorry, and they just place them there on some cards. And so character, tableaus or character, tableaus. So the one from the character tableaus, they're good. I mean, they're fine. You know, you have Ripley, you have Vasquez, you have Frost, you have Hudson, you have Lieutenant Scott Gorman, you have Corporal Dwayne Hicks, and you have Newt, right? So those, the ones from the tableau, they're cool. And it has with some, you know, I guess, quotes from them, like Vasquez says, like, I say we roll them in there and nerve gas the whole F-ness. I'm not going to say it because there's some kids listening. Ripley says, I say we take off and nuke the entire side from orbit. So you get cool, you know, I guess, quotes from the movies. I mean, no big deal on that. But then on the cards, the guns and everything, the art on the cards, it wasn't my favorite. I was like, you know. So if I compare once again with the Legendary Upper Deck, game, just the art, I think the art is way better on that one. This one, I would have preferred, I don't know if I would have preferred probably, you know, different art. More like, I mean, for the characters, once again, use the pictures. But then probably, I don't know, like some 3D or drawing or something on the cards of the game. I think that it would be better. Once again, that's my opinion. Sometimes or usually art is very subjective. So there you go. Regarding the positive things, I think it's a very fun game. I actually and like it a lot. Probably has to do with the theme, right? Which that could be the risky part. But I actually like it a lot. One of my complaints with Zombicide games when I played solo is just how sometimes difficult or how can the difficult escalate sometimes after rounds by controlling 6 characters. I really love when you play games solo that you control 1 or 2 characters, 3 at most, but 6, sometimes it's like, oof, man, I mean, you know, you're gonna have to keep track of everything. In this game, you have to keep track because you equip them with guns and stuff, but at the same time, the fact that you can use their solo side, I guess, if you want to call it, where their abilities are not triggered. They just, like, the characters there to support. I think that's very cool and actually makes the experience way smoother, like I mentioned. And it gives a more enjoyable experience for solo mode. Also, if you're playing 2 players, well, you can choose 2 characters and 2 characters. And the rest and the 2 remaining, well, you can use them face down. In that way, that you just use them as support. So I think that's great as well. So that's a very positive thing. Another positive thing of the game, of course, is the theme. It has some tension on it. So there are some points, especially on the first mission on Newt, where you're trying to find Newt. You don't know which token is Newt. And you have multiple tokens out there that they could be potentially Newt. But guess what? The ones that are Newt are probably a horde of aliens. So you have to be very careful because in order to go there, you have to be very strategic about where you're going to place your characters. In that way, you don't get ambushed and, you know, being in a dead-end situation. So that's very cool. Another mechanic that I like from the game, or another thing that I actually like from the game, is the aim tracker. The aim tracker is fantastic. I mean, I think it's great, and it adds some seriousness and some tense to this game, which it has to have tense. It does. It really needs to have tense. Every Aliens game done so far already, or if somebody's going to make another Alien game, it has to have tense moments. And this game translated to the level of the game. Once again, don't expect anything like, oh my God, it's super tense. No, but to the level of the gameplay, it will be have some tense moments, So you will have to be very careful and very tactic, let's say, on how to move your characters and how to place them in that way you can cover as many angles as possible. So in that aspect, it really relates to the theme of the movies. Now, once again, the aim trackers, the fact that you're shooting one time, right? Like, so you're grabbing your machine gun and you're shooting at the alien in front of you. And then let's say that alien is at a certain distance that you need to aim very well. You're going to probably hit them once, but then another alien is coming at super speed towards you. So in reality, it would be hard for whoever is shooting to have the same aim. I mean, you can, but it will be hard every time. So that idea translates very well to the mechanic of lowering the aim dial. In that way, it's harder and harder and harder to hit those aliens in the head, if you know what I mean. So that mechanic as well, I actually like it a lot. The mechanic of the deck of cards, that you have to be careful not to deplete the deck, I actually like it as well, because once again, it adds some tension from there. There's some events that I didn't mention on the gameplay that they can change the game, the way the game is going. So that's very cool as well. And those cards are gonna come from the same deck of cards, which is nothing new. Many games out there have event decks. So these will be just mixed with everything together. So that's another thing that I actually enjoy in this game. And generally, that's it. I mean, Aliens, I think it's a game that if you're a fan from the franchise, you will like it. You will probably enjoy it a lot, and you will keep it. If you are not a fan of the franchise, well, I think this game might not be for you, and you might want to look into other options, such as Zombicide. And if you're going to look at Zombicide, my recommendation to you will be Night of the Living Dead, because that's the best Zombicide made so far. And I backed the most recent one, the one on the Old West, which I hope is good too. But Zombicide, Night of the Living Dead, it's so simple, so smooth. So if you don't care about the Aliens franchise, then this might not be a game for you. If you care about the franchise, then this is a game that I would recommend to you. And if I rather play solo or cooperative, I think the experience will go either way okay. I think if you play it multiplayer with fans of the franchise, it will be fun. I think if you play it solo because you love the franchise, it will be fun as well. What is my rating on the game? You know, going from 0 to 5, where 5 is excellent and 0, you hate it. This game, it's probably on the 3.5 level. And probably if you had to ask me, like, you know, which way you incline the most, 3.5 or above, or 3.5 lower. Well, the lowest that I will go, I will tell you, is 3.4. So that's where this game sits for me, 3.4, 3.5, which is not, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that I had to be realistic, and I cannot go blindly just because I love the theme. I think the theme is great. I think there's some very cool mechanics there, but I think there's also things that hurt the game. And once again, my least favorite was Assemble the Minis. So that's that. It doesn't mean that I didn't like the game. I actually like it. I think it's staying with me because I love the franchise, and I would probably, you know, play it with some other people that like the franchise. Okay, possibly. But I can definitely see that if you're not a fan of the franchise and you don't care about the franchise, well, you might want to go other routes instead of grabbing this one. But if you do, then I think you will have a great time playing this and just reviving the kind of like the scenes from the movie with, of course, in a gaming experience with some tension and some cool mechanics like the aim track. So anyway, this was Aliens from Guild Wars 9, another glorious days in the corpse, I'm sorry. So next week we have a Kickstarter preview, actually. So stay tuned for that. It's a Kickstarter that is coming out on mid-April, or towards the end of April, and it has a very interesting theme as well, especially for me, for my heritage. So, you know, I'm going to be telling you all about it on the next episode. And stay tuned because there's potentially some giveaways or a big giveaway. So I won't spoil you with that. So please stay tuned. And like always, remember,
for victory, go tell your friends.
Till next time, see you through the speaker and at the tabletop.